It's Monday night, and you know what that means. It's time for the Tan and J-Man Show live on the ISC Sports Network. I'm Josh, the J-Man Munt. Sitting next to me, across state lines, is Tanner T-Dog Lee. How you doing out there, T-Dog?
Doing pretty good as of now, J-Man, but the Broncos and Bengals haven't kicked off yet. So ask me in a couple hours, I might have a different answer.
That's fair. That's fair. You know, my team also plays tonight, but I haven't thought about it once until right this moment, because I've been dreading it all day. And I was talking to my dad before the show, and I said, we both said this is the least we've ever looked forward to watching the Dolphins on Monday night ever. So
that's pretty bad.
Yeah, we are pretty apathetic at this point. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, and it dawned on me today that the winner of the Dolphins Jets game gets their first victory of the season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nothing like longtime division rivals duking it out for their first win in week four. So that's real fun.
There's not a lot of undefeated teams left in the league off the top of my head. I think it's just the Bills and the Eagles. And winless teams, you got the Dolphins and Jets heading into the night.
You got some bad teams in the NFL this year.
And the Saints. That might be it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. Yeah. So somebody's going to be off the winless trade.
So after tonight, there'll only be three teams, which I know we're, I guess you could take it two ways. We're already 4 weeks into the season. And there's three teams, or we're only 4 weeks into the season, and there's only three winless teams, so I don't know.
Dolphins win tonight. I'm going to talk myself into them being .500 here in a few weeks, because they have some games that I would view as, like, on the schedule as winnable. I mean, tonight's winnable. Then they have Carolina next week, winnable. It's on the road. Then they have a Charger team that really struggles at 1 o'clock Eastern time games in Miami. So you win those three, and I might be back. I might be back.
It's easy to do, isn't it, with sports fandom, with just something positive happens, gets the ball rolling a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. One positive thing happens, and your mindset instantly changes. Like, okay, hey, they do this. Hey, we're right back in the playoff hunt. But long way to go for me to get there.
Yep. I feel you. But my birdie or bogey question tonight revolves around a positive in your sports life right now, the Chicago Cubs, who are in the playoffs for the first time in about a handful of years. They play the Padres tomorrow afternoon, if I'm not mistaken. Afternoon. Yep. But we're gonna get in the DeLorean a little bit, go back in time little bit in Cubs history. It's kind of a painful memory, but you'll get where I'm going here.
They've all pretty much been painful except one. So
that's true. That's a good point. We're going back to 2003 in LCS Game 7. Three Cubs hit home runs that game.
Oh, man.
Can you name all three Cubs? Got to get all three to get
a birdie. I know two of them. Immediately, I know two of them.
Well, that will at least get you a par. So.
No.
Okay, you want three or nothing? Yeah.
It's a Cubs-related question. But I know of two immediately off the top of my head, but I do not know that third, because I remember I missed, like, the first half of the game, which is absurd to even think about now with my fandom, you know, when I'm 32 years old. When I was 11, it was a little different. And I think – so.
You're 33.
I'm 33. I'm – I feel 32.
I like it.
Yeah. Back then, it was like – it was a Wednesday night, I remember, and we had church. So I missed, you know, the first probably five or six innings of that game and tuned in later. But again, 11 years old, didn't know a whole lot compared to what I know now. So that's a very good question, and I'm hoping I can kind of muster up the third name.
You'll probably come across that as the show goes on. So.
Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for great food, cocktails, casual atmosphere, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
And yes, their special over the weekend was beer battered fish and chips. They had hake as the fish, which is a good fish, especially if you're going to get fish and chips. So they've been doing that a lot lately, but you can't go wrong with fish and chips. I know you're not a seafood guy, but I'm a seafood guy. I know a lot of people are seafood guys or guys and gals. And even if they're not, they might like fish. So fish and chips, easy to make, easy to eat, real good. But if you don't want fish, they got plenty of other options. They got great pork options, steak / beef options, chicken options, salads, soups, and more. So go check them out.
You know, if I'm going to eat fish, again, I don't like it. I barely even really tried it. I think battered and deep fried would probably be the way for me to kind of nudge myself in that direction a little bit. So
deep fried helps with about everything,
right? It helps a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. All right. But like I said, birdie or bogey, Cubs are in the playoffs, and now we know the rest of the teams in the playoffs that start tomorrow. So 12 teams in, vying for a World Series ring. All the other teams in the MLB, including the choke artist New York Mets, season's over.
Yeah. That's one of the greatest choke jobs I can remember. I mean, they're up. It wasn't the largest lead ever blown. But they were up 6 games on September 6th, and here we are 3 weeks later, and they're out. They had the best record in baseball well into June. I think they were 45-21, and they played like garbage from really July 1st on. And it was a shocking turn of events where the Cincinnati Reds kind of had a backdoor little got into the playoffs there.
Because they weren't even playing well. No. It's not like they played themselves in.
And honestly, they should send the Cubs gift for the way the Cubs just rolled over for them last weekend in that 4-game series.
Man, I want that NLCS so bad.
My least favorite NLCS ever. I could handle Cardinals NLCS with the Cubs more than
That's why I want it.
A long way to go till we get
come
there.
Come down to a game hopefully. 7, J-Man just sweating.
Hopefully. Just sweating. Yeah, I'd almost prefer the Reds get in the CS and the Cubs not, just to prevent the Cubs and Reds in the CS. Another choke job that's not even getting really the headlines, but it was actually significantly worse than what the Mets did, and that's what the Detroit Tigers did. Mm-hmm. I believe they were up 11 games entering September, and the Cleveland Guardians played unbelievable baseball in September. They were sellers at the deadline, thought the season was over, and they did what they do, man. They just win. They know how to win. They have good pitching. They have good defense. They have timely hitting, and they end up winning that division because they played so well, but also because the Tigers played so poorly. Tigers were, I think, 7-17 or 7-18 in the month of September, which is the worst September record ever for a playoff team. So they went from having the best record in baseball for a majority of the year, and definitely the American League, to having the final wild card spot, where they almost missed the playoffs completely. But the Mets are the ones that gets the headlines, which is understandable considering, you know, they're in New York. They have that media. They spend all that money. Juan Soto's there. And I'm very, very much looking forward to watching postseason baseball. It's my favorite of the playoffs by far. I am a little upset at where the Cubs are kicking off, in a sense. First pitch is at 2:08 Central Time the next 2 days, which means I probably won't be able to watch the first probably 7 innings, I would say. So I might be able to see the final 2 or 3 innings. But again, I understand why MLB did it, because you want the Yankees Red Sox in primetime. I get it. The primetime ESPN game at 7:00 Eastern time. It was unfortunate timing, and I was hoping for a little later so I could watch the entire thing. But such is life. I will not be able to. So and my thinking is, if they lose, I wouldn't want to watch it anyway. So if they do lose, I'm fortunate. If they win, go back and watch the highlights. Cubs, Padres, Reds, Dodgers. We have the Yankees, Red Sox, which is the headliner, and the Tigers, Cleveland Guardians. This will actually be the J-Man's bookie prediction of the week. I think all 4 wild card series go all 3 games. That is my prediction right now. I just think all these teams are very, very even. Obviously, the Reds were only 6 games over .500, and it's the Dodgers. But, man, that Reds pitching staff in a 3-game set is scary with Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo, Andrew Abbott. I do have something saved here on Twitter that I hope I saved it yesterday, because the Reds are the first team in history to make the playoffs after having – let's see if I can pull it up here. Real quick, I should have been prepared, but it's a Monday night. I never am. let's see. The Reds are the first team in MLB history to have no qualifying batter hit .270, no batter hit 25 homers, no pitcher win 15 games, no pitcher notch 200 strikeouts in a non-shortened season and still make the playoffs. So, and a lot of people are saying the Terry Francona magic, and it is very real. Terry Francona knows what he's doing, and his teams more often than not find themselves in the postseason. Credit the Reds for really staying in it. And really, the Mets kept them in it and gave them a little bit of hope, because Mets could have ended them weeks ago, but they refused to do so. And it's hilarious. Literally right after the game where the Mets lost, Pete Alonso announced he's opting out. Which I think is very poor taste of him to do that, because he played a big role in that collapse as well. And to immediately say he's done shows that there was obviously some issues there in the clubhouse in September. So, as I said, I think all four series go 3 games. J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. I know he is a very happy man that his Cincinnati Redlegs are in the postseason for the first time in a real season since 2013.
All right, so now I'm putting you on the spot. Do the Reds finally win a playoff series for all those Reds fans in our lifetime that don't remember them ever winning a playoff series?
The Dodgers are not what they used to be, but they're still the Dodgers. And I think just being in L.A., I can't imagine the Dodgers losing that series. But again, 3-game series are even such more of a crapshoot than a 5-game series is. And with the, as I said, the Reds 3-headed pitching monster there, it's going to be really tough on the Dodgers, but the Dodgers are throwing out some pretty good pitchers too. And Blake Snell has won multiple Cy Youngs. Yamamoto's had a fantastic year. And then Shohei Ohtani in game 3, if necessary. So it's not going to be easy for the Reds either, for a team that didn't really hit all that well this year, as I said, and as I mentioned in the stats there. But no, I think the Dodgers win in 3. I think the Yankees win in 3. And I think the Tigers win in 3. And then my brain is telling me to pick the Padres, but my heart is telling me to pick the Cubs. So this is a tough one, because Padres have the best bullpen in the league. They have like 5 guys out there that are throwing 100 miles an hour. Mason Miller, who came over from the Athletics at the trade deadline, is striking out over 60% of the batters he's faced since becoming a San Diego Padre, which is absurd. Cubs will have to face Nick Pivetta tomorrow, Dylan Cease on Tuesday, and likely Yu Darvish on Thursday. And unfortunately for the Cubs, their ace, Cade Horton, is going to be out for at least 15 days. He has a non-displaced fracture in his rib that is very unfortunate, because he'd been arguably the best pitcher in baseball. I mean, he had an ERA right around 1. Since the second half started. So they're going to be without him. They're going to be with Matthew Boyd tomorrow night, and then likely Shota Imanaga will be the bulk guy. Maybe Mike Soroka will be the opener, because Shota has had a terrible first inning thing going on here, where his ERA is close to 9. Who knows on Thursday. Jameson Taillon's likely going to be Thursday. It looks like we lost Tanner here. I know he froze on my end, but my heart is telling me the Cubs, so I'm going to pick the Cubs to win that one. They are they have been very good at home this year. They're 50-31, and the San Diego Padres are 39-43 since the on the road. And Cubs won 2-3 against the Padres earlier in the year at Wrigley, and then lost 2-3 in San Diego. So it's a fairly even matchup there in that wild card round. I'm not sure who the pitching matchups are elsewhere around the postseason. Let's see. I'm sure Tariq Skubal's going in one. I'm just going to look him up real quick until we get Tanner back, hopefully soon. Let's see here. Pitching matchups. I know we'll have probably a great postseason pitching matchup. Really, it would be a great regular season pitching matchup where Garrett Crochet will go against Carlos Rodon in the Yankees-Red Sox. So hopefully hopefully that's a that ends up being a very good one. That might be the only one that I think the Red Sox win there. Let's see here. CBS Sports did rank the starting pitching staffs and bullpen for all 12 postseason teams. They have the Toronto Blue Jays as the worst. The rotation is a potential weakness. Kevin Gausman's been great, but Shane Bieber has actually been pretty good since the trade deadline. He left Cleveland. Cleveland traded him at the deadline. And Blue Jays won 94 games, and they had the number one seed in the I think they had the number one seed in the American League. Let's see here. I've been so out of it. I've been so focused on the Cubs. Yep, they had the number one seed. We have the Seattle Mariners as the two seed. We have the Cleveland Guardians as the three. Tanner lost internet, so it might be a J-Man show, which Tanner's done this by himself before, and so I feel pretty confident that I'm able to do it as well. So hopefully Tanner will be able to join us. If not, I'll give my well, I got a blind ranking segment to do that would be kind of hard without him. Let's see, what else can I do? I can do on this day as well eventually, and I can give my picks and my winners and losers. But, yeah, the baseball playoffs, as I said, it's my favorite, absolute favorite postseason. The drama is unmatched in Major League Baseball postseason, and I'm very excited. And hopefully my team advances enough where I can at least enjoy it a little bit. Because I actually have a bold prediction here as well that it might be I'll get into next Monday. But I think the winner of the Cubs Padres series will be in the NLCS. I think both teams are set up to beat the Milwaukee Brewers in the NLDS. And there's T-Dog. You on your phone now?
Yeah. I apologize, everybody. My internet is that down. I do not know what's going on.
Oh, that's
TV's
fun.
Out, everything. I don't know.
That's not good, especially with the Broncos kicking off in an hour and a half.
Yes, I tried to open up a tab on my computer and it was slow. I'm like, that's weird, and all of a sudden, zzz, everything out. So,
well, I noticed you your face stayed the same. You froze. And I'm like, oh, hopefully it'll, and then you disappeared.
You better not take a screenshot.
I should have thought about it, but yeah. But no, I was still giving my predictions for baseball. Who do you have winning the series?
I got the Cubs, Dodgers. Let's see here, Yankees. I'm gonna take the Tigers and Guardians play right then. I'm gonna take the Tigers. Is that as far as you went, or did you go?
Yeah, that's as far as I went, because we can do our predictions, I guess, next week for the division series. But I did have a bold prediction that the winner of the Cubs-Padres series will advance the NLCS. They'll beat the Brewers in the division series. I'm hoping it's the Cubs. I'd like another shot at them. Although Cubs did win the season series, I'd be close to 50% Cubs fans in there as well, which would be kind of cool should that come to fruition. But again, long way to go before then.
Yep, one game at a time. One game at a time.
Yep. All right. Let's see what else you want. What else we got? We got college football. We have.
I want to talk a little Ryder Cup.
All right, I forgot about the Ryder Cup.
Well, it's forgettable if you're an American. Once again, Europe proves they're the better team. U.S. fought hard yesterday when it came down to singles one-on-one and tied all matches except one. So to only lose one match is pretty dang good, but they just dug themselves too deep of a hole in the team aspect and the team play on Friday and Saturday, and it was too little too late. So once again, that's
three cups in a row. Europe's won, and I think they've won like 9 out of the last 12. goes to Ireland in 2 years in 2027. The Americans haven't won on European soil, I don't believe, since we were born, or maybe the year we were born. So that's probably not going to happen. Probably not going to end well. I don't know what they do. Seems like Europe's got their formula figured out, and the U.S. doesn't. There's a lot of rumors going around that Tiger could very well be the next captain of the U.S. team in 2027. He supposedly turned it down, silently turned it down this year before they settled on Keegan Bradley. I liked Europe's team better on paper anyways coming into this. And to be honest, it was the same exact team they had in 2023, except one player, and that player's brother was the other guy on the roster back in 2023. Oh. So they had that team cohesion, same captain and Luke Donald. They just, I don't want to say they take it more seriously, because I think the U.S. takes it seriously, but just something like their brotherhood stronger or something. They just figure out how to get it done. The fans at Bethpage Black, I don't want to say all of them, but some of them were very rude and stepped over the line all week long to the Europeans. I mean, they threw a beer at Rory McIlroy's wife, said a lot of nasty things to Rory, Shane Lowry, to others. Just gave U.S. sports fans, U.S. golf fans a pretty bad look. So
yeah,
that was kind of embarrassing. But all in all, I thought it was a pretty boring Ryder Cup until yesterday. Then it got pretty interesting. But I get why people make such a big deal about it. It only happens every other year. In those other years where the Ryder Cup's not going on, it's the President's Cup, which is the U.S. versus the rest of the world, excluding Europe. And the U.S. has never lost that event since it started in the 90s. So it's a big deal. It's right up there with the Masters. Some people think it's bigger than the Masters. So
How do they decide on captains?
There's a committee
That
decides. I felt bad for Keegan Bradley. And the guy's only like 38 years old. And he played well enough to be on the team this year, but didn't feel like he should pick himself. So he didn't. I think it was because he kind of got snubbed 2 years ago. He was the one guy. It came down to him. And I don't remember who the other guy was that Zach Johnson ultimately went with. And I think the committee felt so bad for Keegan. They're like, well, we'll just make him captain next Ryder Cup. And then he was having a career year this year, and he could have picked himself. He did. He wasn't one of the six that automatically qualified, because how it works is six guys automatically qualify with points throughout the year. The other six are picked via captain's pick. And he just didn't feel like picking himself. Looking back, maybe he should have, because U.S. might have needed an emotional player and a spark like he would have brought. But it is what it is. So shut my door here. My wife's watching something that's kind of loud since I have my phone out. So yeah. So but that's really all I got to say about the Ryder Cup. Oh, one more thing. I don't know if you saw this online at all. The envelope rule. Did you see that?
I didn't.
So that started way back in the day. I don't think it had to come into play since the 91 Ryder Cup. And the envelope rule is, before the Ryder Cup starts, each captain writes down one player's name. And this, it comes out if a player is too injured to play in singles on Sunday, then the other opposing country has to open up the envelope, and whatever player's name is written in the envelope doesn't play that day. So it's kind of like your weakest link.
Right.
And more years than not, because it's hardly ever used, that envelope gets burnt. It doesn't even get seen. It doesn't even get spoke about. Only the captains know. Well, Victor Hovland woke up yesterday morning, couldn't move his neck for Europe because he slept on her arm. So he said he couldn't play. So the envelope rule, for the first time in 24 years, came into play. And Harris English was the guy for the U.S. that was written down. So instead of both teams getting 0 points, they have the match, which is half point.
Oh.
So that helped already right off the bat. Europe's got half point because they only needed, I think it was 2 or 2.5 points going into yesterday to retain the cup. They only needed 14 overall points. So that was spoke about a lot about last night. Like, they need to get rid of that rule before the next Ryder Cup. Figure out a different system or something else.
Yeah, that's like a head coach picking the free throw shooter of the guy that gets hurt a little bit.
Exactly. And I feel bad for Harris English.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was the best of the 12. But, yeah, that's tough. But, yeah. So, another Ryder Cup come and gone. So
happened so fast.
Yep. Yep. It's they planned for it for 2 years. And then 3 days, over.
It's over. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Any other golf you want to hit on?
No. I mean, it's kind of the slow season now. The,
yeah.
The fall season takes off, and then which starts the 2026 season. And then things will really get underway in January. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Neato. You want to talk some NFL? Because actually my blind ranking is NFL.
Sure.
Here. So I think we should start with my blind rank.
Okay.
Broncos are on Monday night. I pretty much stole your idea, except I flipped it from last week.
Sure.
Broncos are on Monday night tonight, and so I have 5 wins. So if hopefully your memory serves you correctly to rank these wins that the Broncos have had on Monday Night Football over the past, looks like, since 2012.
Okay, so rank them as far as, like, how I was feeling after the game, pretty much, type thing?
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, the exhilaration or whatever. Whatever, you choose. I don't care.
Okay.
Starting with September 11th, 2017, against the L.A. Chargers, 24-21.
I was at this game.
Oh, you were? I don't even remember that.
Vance Joseph's first game as head coach.
Oh.
Shelby Harris blocked the kick to win the game, or it was going to go into overtime. So I normally wouldn't put this number one, but I'm putting it number one because I was there.
You were there, yeah.
So, yeah, that
definitely
was a fun way to
that makes sense.
Start the season, and then the rest of the season was they might end up with a winning record. I don't remember. No, they didn't have a winning record or Vance Joseph, but they weren't as bad as they were the following year. But
was that T Money Wiggle?
Yeah, that was the year they went through him. Let's see who else played that year. Osweiler, I think Paxton Lynch even saw some time. Yeah, yeah. And then 18, they went and got Case Keenum. That was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Case Keenum as
John Elway said.
John Elway said, yeah.
He knew it was going to be bad then.
Number two here, December 28th, 2015, against the Cincinnati Bengals in overtime.
I remember this one well. The Broncos team started, choking their playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
Brock Osweiler was still their quarterback then, with Peyton on the shelf with the injury. And that defense bailed him out. AJ McCarron was the quarterback that
night. I remember that, yeah.
Hurt and strip sack, I believe, by DeMarcus Ware, either caused it or fell on it to seal the deal for the Broncos. So I just remember feeling more relief than anything. So I'll put that one number four.
All right. September 23rd, 2013, against the Oakland Raiders, 37-21.
Don't remember much about this game at all. That's back when the Broncos would never lose to the Raiders. Peyton never lost to the Raiders. Now, they lost to the Raiders last year there, but Osweiler played that game. We were at Wing Cetera that game. So I'm going to go number five on this one. I was actually surprised the final score was that close when you said that.
The losses are way more memorable for sure.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah, you probably won't remember that. You might remember this one. October 15th, 2012, at San Diego Chargers, 35-24.
Oh, I remember this one real well because the Broncos were down 24-0 at half.
Okay, never mind.
And it just unbelievable comeback, and then Chris Harris Jr. sealed the victory with a pick six on my least favorite NFL player of all time, Philip Rivers. So I'm putting this number two. It could have been number one if I hadn't been at the other Charger game. But yeah, that Bronco team, if you remember right, they started off bad that year with Peyton.
Yeah, yeah.
And down 24 points this game, because I think it was like week 5 or 6. And I'm thinking, my gosh, what is going on? But thankfully, they stormed back and got that one. So,
last one here at Buffalo 2 years ago, 24-22.
Oh, lucky win. Mm-hmm. I acted like a baby this game. Will Lutz missed the game-winning field goal. Bills got called for offsides, and then
he makes
his attempt, because that was a Bronco team that ended up with a winning record, but they missed the playoffs and Russell Wilson. But they went in and outplayed Buffalo that whole game. It looked like great opportunity to win. They missed the kick. I'm like, oh my God. Then there was a flag and they got bailed out. So
kind of mix up for a week two this year, right?
Yes. Well, no, not right now.
Different season. Yeah.
But yeah, but back then. So that's my number three. I'm good with that. I think I'm good with my list as is. I don't think I need to re-rank. So
I don't remember any of them. I'll be honest with you.
I wouldn't hardly remember any Dolphin Monday Night Victory. So.
I wouldn't either. Let's be honest. So,
well, that's a good list. I like that. I was hoping today. I was even thinking. I wonder if he'll do a Broncos Monday Night list of some sort. So, good stuff. Good stuff. And that's the blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by every week, like it is every week, I should say, by Performer Prints 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting. Performer Print 2 Promo Group is over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. So you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
Three winners, three losers.
Yeah, you can start. I'll let you start.
All right. Jacksonville Jaguars going on the road against a healthy-ish San Francisco team and winning. So the Jags look a lot better than I think a lot of people were anticipating so far this year. And that's a good win for them.
Yeah, they're right there in the mix of things. I mean, right now they're tied at the top of the AFC South with the Colts. Trevor Lawrence is playing pretty good. ETN's running the ball well. That defense comes up with some good turnovers. They haven't figured out how to use Travis Hunter Jr. very well yet.
No.
Which I saw a lot of Colorado fans complain about that yesterday online. I want to say, but the Jaguars are winning, so yeah. I'm sure they really don't care at the end of the day. Yeah. But so that's a good one. That's a good winner. One of my winners here, honestly, I don't like them, so I don't put them in my winners category very often. But I'm going to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, they look good.
You know, everybody was worried about them going into this game. The loser of them and the Ravens is going to be 1-3. They flexed their muscles. They smoked the Ravens. Their offense looked like their offense of old. I don't know if that's more them or the Ravens defense. That looks like unlike any Baltimore defense we've seen.
Yeah.
Two decades. Yeah. But yeah, I don't think anybody needs to worry about the Chiefs, unfortunately.
Yeah. It was kind of like, hey, don't forget about us sort of thing yesterday. Yeah. My second winner, Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, Sam Darnold looks pretty dang good. Good road win in Arizona on Thursday night. I kind of always, when we do these lists, I kind of forget about the Thursday night game. And I leave
easy to leave
the teams off. But no, that's a very good win for the Seahawks. And I would, I think they're a very solid team and has a very good chance to win the West this year.
Yeah, they're a surprise so far, for sure. They're good. My number two winner, the New York Giants.
Yeah.
Find a way to be a good Charger team at home in Jackson Dart's starting debut. They did lose Malik Nabers for the season. The ACL tear, that's going to kill them and, of course, kill all those fantasy owners. So I don't know how many more wins they're going to have. But Jackson Dart looked pretty good in his starting debut as a starter.
My last winner here, Chicago Bears, found a way. That's a game they never win, that kind of game ever. To block a field goal like that. So maybe the tides are turning a little bit. They forced a bunch of turnovers on Geno. I think the Raiders stink. Good road win for them against in a game. Again, the Bears don't win very often.
Right. I look back in our bold predictions for 2025. One of your bold predictions was the Bears to win the NFC North.
Interesting. I don't remember that at all.
Yep. So, my last winner, there's a lot of teams you could go with. I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers beating the Vikings by 3 over in Dublin, the first NFL game over in Dublin, which was a surprise to me.
In Dublin?
Played over there before, but Steelers look pretty good so far. I'd say Aaron Rodgers looking a lot better than he ever did in a Jets uniform.
Yeah, he is. Three losers.
My first loser, I'm going to go with a player. Not very often I do this, but A.D. Mitchell.
Yeah.
Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
Rough game. He not only drops the ball before he crosses the goal line, and it ends up being a touchback, which you think the Colts players would have learned after Jonathan Taylor did that against the Broncos last year.
Yeah.
Ultimately cost him the playoff spot.
Yeah.
And helped the Broncos get in the playoffs. But not only that, he gets called for a holding call on Jonathan Taylor's long touchdown run that would have sealed the game. So bad day in the office for Andy Mitchell.
Players, I don't understand how they don't learn. Just hold the thing. There's no reason to hold it out.
In There's the no... end zone.
Yeah. Stupid. My first loser is the NFL. I do this every single time there's a tie. How do we still have ties in the NFL? The only I saw a tweet. It was like the only places there are ties are T-ball in the NFL.
It's 2025. Figure it out.
There's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. I mean, 40-40, heck of a game. But to still end in a tie is just pathetic.
I mean, hockey figured it out.
Yeah.
Why
College football got away with the tie 30 years ago.
Yep. And I don't like the college football, like the overtime rules now that you have to go for two starting double overtime and then triple overtime, just 2-point conversions. I don't like that. But the NFL can do something fun. Like you could get real creative with like field goal kicking competition or something. Yeah. I don't know. Something.
Yeah.
Something different. I think fans enjoy that a lot more than a tie.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to bring the tie up. Oh, number two loser for me. Carolina Panthers. They stink.
Yeah.
They were coming off a 30-0 win against the Falcons. I was like, all right. And then Drake May and the Patriots just took him to the woodshed yesterday.
They really did. Yeah. Another team that I think is the worst team in the NFL, and that's the Tennessee Titans. Cam Ward looked horrendous yesterday. Texans needed that for one. They were desperate. They didn't want to start out 0-4. They won a game. They haven't won a game, have they?
No, they haven't.
0-3. Yeah. Yep. And they got blanked. I think their head coach is probably going to get fired sometime, even though it's only year two. It's ugly there in Tennessee.
Yeah, it is. They're not going to win many games at all.
No.
My last loser. I've only done two, right?
Yeah, it's your last one.
All right, my last loser is I'm actually gonna go to the Arizona Cardinals. Once again, Thursday night game. I feel like they could have kind of made a statement.
Yeah,
proved early in the season that they're contenders, but I don't know. They just Marvin Harrison Jr. is not himself. I don't know what's going on there. I think the reason the Cardinals have the record they do is because of who they've played.
Yeah, I agree.
Games,
so. Yep. My last loser is the LA Chargers. That's a bad loss. You want people to take you seriously as a legitimate AFC threat. You can't lose to a rookie quarterback against a bad team for one, New York Giants, but facing a rookie quarterback. That's the thing that you can't lose that game if people want to take you seriously. Herbert's got to go and play a lot better than he did. It looked like the same old Chargers, losing that.
Charger, as I say.
Did you hear me? That is it for my winners, losers.
Yep. Want to get right into the week 5 picks?
Let's do it.
All right. Thursday night, another NFC West matchup on Thursday night. San Francisco 49ers at the LA Rams.
I think the LA Rams are legitimately very good, and I am taking the Rams for 10 points.
I got the Rams for 8. Yeah, they're a blocked field goal away from being undefeated.
Yeah.
So Stafford, man, he's old, but he can still sling that ball.
Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Definitely.
Another overseas game for the Vikings, this one in London. The Minnesota Vikings at the Cleveland Browns. So back-to-back European games.
I assume they're just staying over there. They have to be, right?
Yeah.
That'd be rough, though, to be away from home for 2 weeks in a foreign country. I think Minnesota beats them. I think it's fairly close game, though. Give me Minnesota for 3.
I got Minnesota for 11. I'm not really a believer in Carson Wentz, even though
he's
just as good as McCarthy is, to be honest.
But
I think the Vikings defense will just – cause havoc.
Good.
Flacco.
Yeah.
Yeah. Denver Broncos at Philadelphia Eagles.
Obviously, you need to see Denver play tonight, but I'm taking Philadelphia for 11.
Yeah, Eagles look really good.
They do.
This pick could look really stupid for many different ways, especially if the Broncos lose to the Bengals, which if the Broncos lose to the Bengals, I might not be showing up on the next week's podcast. I'm taking the Broncos for one because I don't know. I feel like the Broncos will be up for the moment. They went into Kansas City last year when Kansas City was undefeated. Should have won, got their field goal blocked, and defense can travel. But the Eagles are really good. They've won 24 of the last 25 games.
Yeah.
So, something like that. So my number might be a little off there, but taking the Broncos for one, that's more of a homer pick than anything. Dallas Cowboys at New York Jets.
Give me the Cowboys for 6.
I got the Cowboys for 10. I think they're starting to play pretty good football. Yeah. Or they looked a lot better last night than they did against the Bears, I should say.
Definitely.
Houston Texans at Baltimore Ravens. Lamar's status is up in the air right now.
Yeah, Baltimore, they were on my loser category. I just couldn't talk about them. I didn't get to them. But they've looked bad, especially yesterday they looked bad. But Houston's looked bad too. And it's in Baltimore. I assume Lamar's going to play. Even if he doesn't, I think they still beat Houston. But with Lamar, I'm assuming he's going to play. I'm taking Baltimore for 12.
I'm taking the Ravens for 4. Yeah, they do not look good right now.
No.
Like you said, either it's Houston. But these next 3 games are critical for the Ravens because if they dig themselves in too much deeper of a hole, it's going to be hard to just make the playoffs as a wild card.
Yeah.
I mean, and then at that point, they can kiss the division goodbye. It's probably the Steelers wrapped with a bow. So
yeah, definitely.
New York Giants at New Orleans Saints. That's going to be a stick fest.
It might be the Saints' one opportunity to get a win this year.
Yeah. They played okay yesterday.
They did. They hung in there. I think Buffalo just played way, way, way down to New Orleans' level. Give me Giants for 5, though.
I'm taking the Saints for 3.
All right. I like it.
I think it's not so much the Saints as I think Jackson Dart struggles in his first road start.
That's fair. That's fair. Yep. So,
Las Vegas Raiders at Indianapolis Colts.
Give me Colts for 8.
I got the Colts for 9. I think they bounce back, especially at home. Miami Dolphins at Carolina Panthers. Once again, I wish I could watch the Dolphins play tonight against the Jets.
Me too. I'm taking the Dolphins for 2.
I got the Dolphins for 5. I think they win tonight against the Jets, and then I think they beat the Panthers and make J-Man feel a lot better.
If they lose tonight, it could get ugly. There was already a helicopter or a plane flying around with now hiring new head coach, new GM, new quarterback, or something like that. So it's already ugly there. But if they lose to the Jets, a bad Jets team, could get even uglier. And then if they lose to Carolina, I think you got to make a change.
Yeah.
I thought.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Seattle Seahawks.
Might be the game of the week, in my opinion. I think that's a very good game. Give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 1.
I'm taking the Bucs for 6. I was kind of dumb taking them yesterday against the Eagles. But I don't think Baker in that offense loses 2 in a row. But but Seattle's been a surprise team. So,
yeah.
I guess nothing will shock me there. But Bucs for 6. Tennessee Titans at Arizona Cardinals.
Give me the Cardinals for 13. I think Tennessee's bad.
I got the Cardinals for 12. We're right there. Washington Commanders at the LA Chargers. I assume Jaden Daniels will be back, but I don't know.
I made this prediction assuming Jaden Daniels was back. But still, give me the Chargers for 4.
I got the Chargers for 7. I think they're just better.
Yep.
Detroit Lions at the Cincinnati Bengals.
Detroit looks back too. They've looked really good the past few weeks. So give me the Lions for 9.
I got the Lions for 13. Once again, I hope these words don't come back to bite me or haunt me tonight. I just don't think the Bengals are very good.
Yep.
They got the worst rushing attack in the league. They're averaging like 50 yards per game. Got great wide receiver weapons, but besides that, with Burrow out, I mean, Browning's fine for backup, but
he's still back up for a reason.
Tough situation. Yeah. Interesting Sunday night game here. Patriots at Bills.
Getting the Bills for 14.
I got the Bills for 14 as well. I'm just kind of surprised they put the Patriots in that Sunday night spot, I guess.
Me too.
And then Monday night matchup that got a lot more interesting yesterday. The Kansas City Jacksonville Jaguars.
I have the Chiefs for 7.
I got the Jags for 2. Why not? More of a hater pick. And this could be a statement game for the Jaguars.
Definitely. Yeah, this is a measuring stick sort of game for Jacksonville for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But should be a good slate of games. It was easier to pick the points, I thought, this week's game compared to week 4.
Yeah, that was tough. Yeah, this was a little easier.
Yeah. I was planning to do on this day, but I can't pull anything up.
Oh, I will pull it up here on my phone real quick. I forgot about it too. I'm watching the Dolphins are about to kick off, so if I get distracted,
man, I hope the internet by the time the Broncos kick off.
On, on this day.com. I forgot about on this day, honestly. The Dolphins are wearing ugly, ugly jerseys tonight. They're
those rival, the rival, yeah. Or whatever. They're black.
Don't like them at all. So we'll see. Hopefully they win in them. I remember when they used to wear the orange?
Yeah.
Those were ugly too.
They're wearing these navies I have on today. That's their alternate.
It's kind of cool. On this day in 1880, the first professional baseball game at the Polo Grounds was playing, where the New York Mets beat the Washington Nationals 4-2 in 5 innings. What a
legendary ball field.
Yeah. Legendary team. Who's still choking, 140 years later. On this day in 1920, Yankee slugger Babe Ruth set the then MLB home run season record at 54. They played less games back then, too, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, the Babe wouldn't got the record this year, though.
Yep. On this day in 1945, the Cubs won the pennant. Hopefully that's a good sign. With a record of 98 and 56. That was right before the Billy Goat. So, well, you kind of forget about the Billy Goat now, which is.
Yeah, once you hit the World Series, all that's out the window, right? But.
On this day in 1954, Giants Willie Mays made his famous over the shoulder catch.
I was just thinking about that the other day.
Yeah, that was, let me do the math here. 71 years ago.
There you go.
On this day in 1957, the New York football Giants played their last game at the Polo Grounds. So we had a first game at the Polo Grounds and a last game at the Polo Grounds on this day, just 70 odd years apart. On this day in 1963, the St. Louis Cardinals celebrate Stan Musial Day in St. Louis for Stan Musial's final game. He hit, he got his 3,629th and 3,630th hit in that game. So that was pretty.
He would be on a Cardinals Mount Rushmore, right?
For sure. For sure. Stan the man. 1966, Sandy Koufax pitched his third 300 strikeout season. I don't know if we'll see a 300 strikeout season ever again.
No.
That's pretty impressive. On this day in 1976, Tommy Lasorda became the LA Dodgers manager.
He's around the game forever.
Long time. Dolphins just picked up a third down conversion to Darren Waller. Forgot about him.
Oh yeah.
It's his first game today. He's been hurt. I'm always shocked when the Dolphins pick up a first down, let alone on third down alone. On this day in 1985, Houston Oilers quarterback Warren Moon is sacked an NFL tying record 12 times by the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, I can't imagine the words he had. He was offensive lineman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. yeah, that's pretty bad. On this day in 1986, Greg Maddux defeated the Phillies' Mike Maddux. First time ever two brothers that were rookies faced off against each other.
That's cool.
On this day in 1980, there's some good ones today. Yankees Don Mattingly hits his record 6th grand slam of the season.
Wow, Donnie baseball.
Yeah.
Never won a World Series though.
They were bad when he was there.
The '80s, they didn't do anything.
No, even early '90s, they weren't very good. Really, until Jeter got there. Yeah. On this day in a lot of Ryder Cup, but as you said, the U.S. never did a whole lot. On this day in 1992, Magic Johnson announced his return to play basketball, but does not follow through.
He was old by then.
The trial for O.J. Simpson kicked off. Trial for former NFL running back broadcaster is sent to the jury. Okay. That was a rough one. Let's see here. On this day in 2005, the White Sox clinched their first division title since 2000. That's not a great one. I thought that was going to be it's only September. Why would it be a
World Series? Have they won one since?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they won early 2020s.
Okay.
They also were pretty good in 2008, but I think they were a wild card team. Maybe they won the division. Okay. 2 for 2 on third downs, T-Dog. What is going on?
Hey, something's in the air tonight.
I guess. It's the black uniforms. It looks very Miami Vice, black and aqua.
Yeah.
I don't like them.
The Heat have those like Miami Vice.
Yeah. Kind of similar.
And the Marlins. Yeah. Miami thing. Yeah.
It is a Miami thing. All right. That'll do it for On This Day.
That's a good On This Day this week, which is brought to you by Mooney Wood and Laser Crafts. Mooney Wood and Laser Crafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grass roots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of the recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Wood Laser Crafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first order. Thad sent me I wish I could bring it up. He sent me a design he did for an Oklahoma fan the other day, a tumbler.
Oh, cool.
Oh man, it looked really cool. Had the OU on one side and the wagon, the Sooner wagon on the other side.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Boomer Sooner. All right. We got about 9 minutes left. What were your big takeaways from college football week 5? I thought it was a pretty darn good.
Yeah. I really only watched one game, and that was the USC Illinois game. But yeah, Alabama going into Georgia.
Kirby's 1-7 now against Alabama.
It's crazy, yeah, it's crazy. What else? We had Ole Miss beating LSU. That was a big matchup. Notre Dame just took it to Arkansas.
It was over halftime.
Yeah, Arkansas fired their head coach.
Pittman gone, Petrino in, and he's already fired 3 defensive staff members already.
Yeah.
That's good as well.
Petrino coming in is hilarious. It didn't end well the first couple times he was there. Good Lord.
Oregon beats Penn State. Franklin still can't win the big
Win the big. That's the takeaway. I forgot about that one. Cannot win the big one. Never can. Never has overtime. Been able to. I think Drew Aller is one of the most overrated quarterbacks we've seen in Big Ten. I just don't think Penn State's very good, and they're somehow still ranked in the top 10. That's a home game you need to win.
They'll still probably make the playoff. I mean, they got to win games, but Oregon's legit. That's a great road win. And now they get a bye, and then next week they'll get an undefeated Indiana team coming into Eugene.
It's about time Indiana has a tough road test.
They had a test that
That's fair.
They still found a way to get out of there alive.
So. That's due to Iowa's futility.
And their starting quarterback went down. Iowa's.
I don't know if that makes that big of a
difference. He's a starter for a reason.
No. I you did play at Ohio State last year. This is going to be that's a real test for Indiana. It'll be interesting.
The line's already out for that one. It's 13.5.
Is it really? Did I pick? Oh, that's in 2 weeks. I don't even see that.
They're both on bye this week. That's 3:30 CBS. It was announced.
Yes, that's where I saw that. You want to pick some Big Ten games here real quick? Dolphins are up 3-0 for all those who care. No one else cares except me.
I don't have a Dolphins kicker, so I don't care about that.
I don't think anyone has a Dolphins kicker because he's only there because Jason Sanders is on the IR for the first 4 weeks.
I thought Sanders was still playing because I'm like, you've been on getting rid of Sanders train on Twitter for like 10 years.
But then every time I do, he has a great year. He had a fantastic year last year, but now he'll probably have a terrible year. But no, he's on the injured list right now, and I think he'll be back next week. I'm not 100% sure, but we have Wisconsin at Michigan.
Yeah, I wish I could pull it. Well, maybe I can. Let me see if I can pull up the lines here and not lose connection. You still got me?
Yeah, I can actually pull them up for you if you would that prefer might be easier. I was actually just looking at the lines today. Big Ten. We have Michigan is a 16.5 point favorite.
Can you still hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay, I don't know where my camera went, but I like Michigan, and I'm taking them for 4.
I have Michigan for 5. I think they cover. I think this is the last year of Luke Fickell there. We have Illinois at Purdue. Illinois is a 9.5 point favorite.
Yeah, it opened up at 10 yesterday, so it's fallen a little bit.
I saw it at 8.5 earlier. So it's
Purdue gets them. Purdue had a bye.
Definitely.
The USC and Notre Dame. Illinois got Ohio State next week, so it could be a trap game. I'm going homer. I'm taking the Boilers for 1.
Yeah, this has all the makings of an upset for sure. I mean, Illinois coming off a very, you know, exciting, intense
field rushing.
Field rushing where they were in control the entire game and fumbled at the 1 yard line twice.
Yeah.
That's why it was so close. But they found a way to win. But again, you have Big Noon kickoff coming back when they play Ohio State the next week. So it's a perfect storm. And Illinois has not played very well against Purdue as a whole, let alone at Ross-Ade. But I think Illinois is better, and I'm taking them for 4.
Yeah, what's concerning is Altmaier hadn't turned over the ball yet, hadn't thrown a pick yet. Purdue hadn't forced anybody to throw an interception yet.
That just means both are due. So that's how my brain works. But no, Altmaier's looked great. He was the first. I'm going to pull it up on my Twitter real quick. We do have time. He was the first Big Ten player. Let's see here. He is the first player to have 300 yards passing, a passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown, and a receiving touchdown in a Big Ten game in at least 30 years. So it goes back a ways. So he had a very good game. USC couldn't stop
him. College football fantasy, they had a good day.
Yeah. Illinois for 4, Penn State at UCLA.
Penn State for 5. Penn State's going to be ticked. They do have to travel clear across the country, but they're a way better team. They'll have more people in stands than UCLA will.
Yeah. I have Penn State for 7. Penn State is a 25.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
Washington at Maryland. This is a sneaky good game here.
Sneaky good game. Maryland's undefeated. Washington, first loss of the season, but it was to Ohio State. They're traveling clear across the country, but I like the Huskies, but only for 2.
I have Maryland just because it's a home game. Now it is a 2:30 Central Time kickoff, so that won't affect Washington as much if it were at 11 a.m. Central Time. But give me Maryland for 1. Louisiana Monroe at Northwestern. Northwestern's only a 10.5-point favorite against.
I'm taking Northwestern for 6. By Louisiana Monroe's beat UTEP, somebody else, and they lost 70-0 to Alabama.
Oh. Give me Northwestern for 3. They stink too. They could have lost UCLA, but they didn't. Michigan State at Nebraska.
I like Nebraska for 3 here.
I have Nebraska for 2. They are a 10.5-point favorite. Then the nightcap here, Minnesota at Ohio State.
What's the spread on that one?
It is 20.5, I think.
Yeah, I'm taking Ohio State for 7. They're the best
24.
Team in my opinion. So.
Yeah, I agree. I have Ohio State for 6. The only reason why I don't have them for 7 is because I think UCLA is garbage. Top 25 matchups here real quick. Number 16, Vandy travels to Alabama.
Yeah, a big game. Big game.
Yeah.
I think Alabama puts it on them. I think Alabama's focused now. And they want revenge from last year, what Vanderbilt did to them. Vandy's a great story. It's amazing what they've done with that program the last few years, but I think Alabama rolls. And
yeah, Bama, 10.5-point favorite. Give me Alabama. Large.
I think that's a game day game, isn't it?
It might be. It is 2:30 ABC. I assume it's game day, looking at the other matchups. But Boise State at Notre Dame. Notre Dame's 20.5-point favorite.
Before the year, I picked Boise State to beat Notre Dame and be one of their 2 losses along with Miami.
Yeah.
I'm not sticking to that. I got Notre Dame winning this one.
Yeah, I got Notre Dame big. The biggest game of the day, not of the day, I guess, because the Vanderbilt Bama is pretty big, but my Canes, number 3, Miami, traveling to Florida State.
Yeah, Florida State lost a great Friday night double overtime battle at Virginia, who's one of the more improved teams in the country. I like how these 2 teams play every year. It bothers me that Miami and Florida don't play every year. You know, Florida State plays both Miami and Florida every year, but Florida and Miami don't for whatever reason. I've taken Florida State in a bounce back game here.
Give me Miami. They're 4.5-point faves. I just like my Canes. Honestly.
That's all right.
That's a homer pick, and I think they're legitimately good too.
Yeah.
Hit me with that birdie, buddy. We only got a minute left.
Yeah. One more game I wanted to pick real quick. Fighting Jeff Brohms. Pull off the victory over the newly ranked Virginia Cavaliers at home. So,
okay.
He likes to beat ranked teams. So.
Yeah, and they struggled against a bad Pitt team, but found a way to win late. So.
So, all right. We're going back in the DeLorean to 2003, Game 7 NLCS. The Cubs ultimately end up losing to the then Florida Marlins. We all know about that. But the Cubs hit 3 home runs in that game. Who were the 3 players to do so?
It was I know it was Kerry Wood because that was the big one. It was like a 3-run homer to tie it or something, or to give him the lead early.
Place was shaking.
the weird one that I remember distinctly, for some reason, it happened and the game was pretty much over. It was like 9-5 at that point, and he hit in like the eighth inning. Troy O'Leary.
He pinch hit. That was the one I didn't think you would get.
Lefty. And then I think it wasn't Sosa. I don't think Alex Gonzalez hit one because we probably wouldn't remember because he screwed up so bad. Maybe around, was it Moises Alou?
You got a birdie, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
O'Leary's the one I was banking on you missing.
So nice.
That was a pinch hit home run, so that's pretty easy to remember, I guess.
The O'Leary one was the one I remembered first. If that makes you feel worse, I don't know if it makes you feel worse or better.
I would have thought Kerry Wood would be one. So I remember that. I remember Kerry Wood.
Yeah. There's just something about the Troy, maybe because he was a left-handed hitter and I was left-handed, that kind of stuck out to me.
Fair.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. I'm going to sit here and watch the Dolphins continue to give up 10 yards per rush attempt. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Tanner and I will be back at her next Monday.